There you go. And it's recording.
Okay. Well, today is the 31st day of January. I'm going to try to not be in the light too much, but 31st day of January, 2021, we are studying in our fellowship meeting, the sealed book. And today we are on chapter 7 of the sealed book of Moses, which is on page 89 in the hardbound version. This is a chapter that, again, is fairly short. We should be able to finish it today, but it really does have a lot of material. And so I think we can maybe just start reading and go around. I think I'm going to, well, I'll read first just one verse, and then Kevin, if you said it's on page 89,
okay.
If you'll read chapter, verse 2 and 3.
Okay.
So the introduction says Nimrod, and this whole chapter is basically about Nimrod. Nimrod himself elects the promised descendant. Babel is built, or Babel. They build cities, create schools of wisdom for the purpose of nullifying the gift of the children of God, the gift of God in children. That is the summary, and it's worth.
Well, with Babel, is it our God or their God?
It's, what do you mean?
Well, the God in children, gift of God in children. I mean, what they lose fine?
Yeah, their purpose is to nullify.
Oh, nullify, take away.
Yeah, nullify, make it inoperative.
It's kind of like what we're doing.
So Kevin, yes, Kevin points out that the word nullify means that is that the Babel, Nimrod and Babel are going to be nullifying, making useless the gifts of God in children. And with these schools of wisdom, he said, gee, that's a lot like what's happening today. And yes, I think we'll be discussing that. So here's verse 1. After the flood, all the land was still of the same language and dialect, and parents had the custom to teach their children about the good feelings from the Spirit of God in such a way that such teaching became natural after the flood among the descendants of Noah as God had designed. Now, I'll make one comment on that and then open it for others. But the three sons of Noah are Ham, and Japheth, and Shem. Usually the other order, Shem, Japheth, and Ham. That's not the order of birth. But anyway, and it says all of them were following this. God got rid of all the wicked people in the flood. These three men and their wives all taught their families the righteous principles and their children the righteous principles. I'm saying that because Ham's not always characterized as a really good man, but according to this, he was. Everybody was doing just great. Any other comments before we go on to this? Wait a minute. Okay, no other comments? Okay, go ahead, Kevin.
But it came to pass that one of the descendants of Ham, under the influence of Satan, sought in his heart to have full control over the children of men, entering into the towns and villages, killing men and taking captive children and women, and enslaving all those who did not agree with this command. To those who were subject to his power, these were commissioned to act in their many duties, whether in the planting and harvesting of fruits and cereals, in the management of cattle and animals of slaughter, in the creation of bricks and construction of houses, and protective wall. In the production of weapons and ornaments of war, ornaments of wars, and the most robust and active were commissioned to be in the military service because they settled in a valley in the land of Shinar.
Okay, comments.
Well, it's kind of like what the Nazis were doing back with the youth camps. They were preparing them for their Luciferian takeover. Again, history repeats itself. And supposedly, we are not only living the time of Moses, but definitely the time of Babylon.
Good point. In fact, I'll add the comment that this is one of the biggest whole reasons for life on this earth, which was chosen to be one of the most wicked, chosen for a special test of this most wicked. One of the... Can you turn that down a little bit? One of the most wicked, one of the greatest commandments of God is free agency. One of the things he really does not interfere with is man's agency. He can prompt, he can nudge, he can even do things like have the whale swallow Jonah to get his attention, you know, which is more than a prompt or a nudge. But still, people are free to choose. He says his plans will never be frustrated. So he interferes with, not interferes, but he, well, maybe in some word like that, if something's really going to frustrate his plans. So his, God's plans are never frustrated. But other than that, he allows everybody to choose. And Satan does the exact opposite. He wants complete control. Tell people all of these things, even how to make the bricks. Imagine having somebody in the government telling you how you could build your house. Oh, yeah, we have that, don't we? Anyway, yes, a lot of this is in place right now. The government is there. Well, they're going to someone be telling us we have to have a shot, so tell us we have to wear a mask, which is, seems a lot more intrusive than even some of these things. About how to prepare weapons of war, build their homes, military service. Let me comment on the land of Shinar. In Hebrew and these ancient languages, a lot of times you just write the vowels, the consonants, and the vowels are written with little dots underneath, and when you know the language, you don't use the dots anymore. So the vowels here are S, S-H, it's not like S, S-N-R. N is a lot like M, and if that was S-M-R, it could be what modern people call Sumer. And there's this, all this literature about the Sumerians. I'm trying to figure out who they are. They were like the father of the wisdom schools. They taught astrology, they knew the stars.
Well, they were born to the watchers too, or?
No, not the Sumerians. The Sumerians.
Oh, the people, not the gods.
Okay. The Sumerians, They're Babylon. They're in the same area as Babylon. Now, Babylon is a city around 600 BC. So Sumerian is 2000, right around the flood. So Sumeria is in the Sumer, not Sumeria, Sumer, which is Shinar, I believe, is right in the land where Babylon is, which is, you know, Iraq, Iran area. And so this is going to develop into Babylon. And so that is the area. And the Tower of Babel is in Babylon. So that alone identifies the land of Sumer with the land of Babylon with the Shinar. Okay, now that, I don't mean to, I studied this stuff a lot, so I'm making long comments, but other comments on what you're noticing?
Well, real quick, what I referred to with the Nazis youth camps, we're doing that today with not only the Democrats doing re-education schooling, but the Pope announced last year that we needed a new world education system. So again, more symbolism of history repeating itself.
and not even symbolism, just more
reality,
more history repeating itself. And it's been all through history. If you just follow this all through history, this is the first, well, it's not the first example. It's Nimrod is the son of, Ham's son is Cush, and Cush's son is Nimrod. It's Ham's grandson. It's Noah's great-grandson. So here they had all these kind of problems before the flood, the one kills everybody. And in only four generations, Satan is back inspiring. Well, we're going to go on and see more details. But he's going to start up his kingdom again right away. And as we read on, we'll see a lot more things compared to today. And we might let people notice the comparisons today themselves, because we don't really understand as much as we think we do about everything.
Right.
Okay. Anyway, you can't miss it, what's happening today. All right, so with that in mind, he's read. So can we go, any other comments before we go on to verse 4? Okay, John, if you would do 4, and then next would be Steve. Go ahead, John.
And with the growth of the people around him, Nimrod proceeded to select chiefs who responded by him to the people. And they said to one another, "Let's make brick and cook it well with fire." And they said, "Let the people of Shinar come. Let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose summit shall rise up very near the heaven, where we may establish a door for the promised descendant to enter the dwelling of God. And let us make a name for ourselves, that we may not be scattered throughout the face of the whole earth, but be remembered by generation after generation, a fated seed with us, even Nimrod, the mighty among the children of men." With the propagation of the word that the promised descendant was in the world and was ruler in his own kingdom, many other people deliberately began to join him on the plain of Shinar, for how much it was necessary to erect more cities to accommodate the population all around the land of his God, some more distant than others by reason of the ore and other artifacts that added value to his reign. And thus Nimrod also began to call kings to govern these cities, but they were only vassals of his kingdom and subjects to his command.
Okay. So comments.
So they built this tower to rise up near the heaven, where they may establish a door for the promised descendant to enter the dwelling of God. So as I read this before, basically they didn't have a time frame of when the promised descendant, the Savior, would really come. So to them it made sense. The promised descendant we've been waiting for. And here it is. A tower with a door. And I guess it made sense to their belief that this would happen to the common people.
Right. Right. And the word door, I don't know much about portals, but it might be translated to some word like portal, where real temples do have something like a portal to where Christ can come down and they can go up. And I mean, that can be done even without a temple. Nimrod's going to call himself. We'll see that more in the next verse even. But he's going to say that he is the promised descendant. And so they're building. So it's going to be kind of like a temple. It's a big tower. And see, this adds quite a bit to what's in the Bible. The Bible says, first of all, the Bible doesn't connect Nimrod directly. Let's talk on that. The Bible doesn't connect Nimrod directly to the power of Babel. It says the people were all one and of one language, and they said, "Let's build a tower." In that same chapter in Genesis, Nimrod is mentioned as the mighty hunter, but it doesn't say he's in charge of the building of the tower. In the book of Jasher, which I believe is a true source, and I've quoted it so many times in my work, it is an authentic source, and I believe it's also accurate and has a true history in it. It definitely connects Nimrod to the building of the tower, and it puts that in the days of Abraham. And it's right about 2000 BC, and Abraham is born about 2050 BC, and so he's right there at the time. So this is confirming both the book of Jasher and the Bible, but it's adding something. The Bible just says they build a tower trying to reach unto heaven. And we say, when I've been taught to sort of chuckle, oh, silly people, they didn't know how high the heavens were, and they should have known that's not a problem. I mean, that's not possible. But the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says that God looked down on this and said, whoa, this is a free translation. Whoa, they're building a tower like unto heaven, and if this continues, nothing will be impossible for them. In other words, God didn't laugh at them. He said, this is a serious problem, and he's going to confound their language to break it up. And he knew, these people knew that they were supposed to disperse all over the land, and everybody go to different countries and start. After the flood, they were, we talked last week, the three sons were each supposed to take a different continent and populate other continents. Nimrod comes along and says, no, let's not do that. Let's not do what the Lord wants and all disperse and do other continents. Let's build one big city and everybody come here and everybody come help build the tower. And I'll be the king. I'll be the big honcho. In fact, I'll be the promised descendant. And he wants to rule everybody and control everybody. So he's going totally against God's will. And that's when God's going to say, you know, he's being successful. He's stopping the dispersion. And so he said, let's confound the language. That's coming. I don't really even talks about the language much and what's coming. But the Lord's going to confound the language to make them disperse. Steve, what are you thinking?
Even in the Babylonian records, he was named Marduk, I believe, as a result of the seeking to be the chosen one by local on the tablets from the ancient digs out there. That's what they called him, Marduk.
That's a good point, and we're going to read that in the next few verses. And before we even do our net ahead, in the book of Jasher, it does have mistakes in it. It doesn't claim to be inspired. The book of Jasher does not. This one does. The book of Jasher says that Marduk was the son of Nimrod, and that the son was even worse than Nimrod. Well, we never hear anything else about Marduk being so bad. And this explains that no, Marduk is another word for Nimrod. It's a title more than a name. We'll get to that in a minute.
And the descendants of Ham, those are the Canaanites, right?
Canaan is one of the four sons of, and that's another. So I'll just say, Kevin's asking, I think you could hear him about the four, are the sons of Ham also called Canaanites? Ham had four sons. Cush, I believe is the oldest, became the country of Ethiopia. Lud became Lydia. Mizraim is second. Mizraim becomes Egypt. Lud becomes Libya, which is Libya, which is next to Egypt in Africa. And Canaan, the fourth son, breaks the rules. And his fourth son, by the way, is the one who gets cursed. When Ham is cursed, it's not Cush that got cursed. It's Canaan who got cursed. And Canaan didn't choose to live in Africa. Canaan went up and kind of stole, what's the word? Sitter, when you sit on the land, squatter. Became a squatter.
Homesteaded.
Yeah, homesteaded squatter in the land of Palestine. So the land of Palestine is called the land of Canaan. That Canaan, C-A-N-A-A-N, that Canaan is the last son of Ham, who refused to live in Africa, but came up and squatted on the land of Palestine. And that's why when Abraham comes, well, later on, they go in and destroy the cities of the Canaanites because they're not supposed to be there. Later on, meaning Joshua, after Moses, Joshua comes in and they take back the land of Canaan for the people whom it was supposed to originally have been given, which are descendants of Shem. I usually give more answers than people want, but that's really important because this is important to keep things straight. So that's saying that Cush did not come from the race that received a curse, which was the Canaanites. He came from Cush, Ethiopians. And yet when you, anyway, it's tricky stuff. Any more comments on this? Let's see, Nimrod, I might keep looking, but there's a lot in this. They wanted to make, okay. So they're building this tower. So this tower is really like a big government work project where he gets people to all come on it. And they all think that the Christ is going to come down.
So it's also symbolic to the Twin Towers.
Well, yeah,
you
see.
Know, it had all the nations plus it came down.
Yeah. And there's, like I said, we got to be careful. Yeah, what we think now, because we may not understand now as well as we think we do. But we certainly can see that all through history, there have been rulers that want to enslave everybody and force them to do things. That part we know is satanic wherever we see it. And we are seeing a lot of that in the world today. Wherever you see people being forced to do something, I was shown that when I was a father. I was shown that anytime as a father, I was trying to force my children to do something, I was using a satanic method. So, I mean, it can creep up everywhere. And in the priesthood, in section 121 of the Doctrine and Covenants, is that anytime church leaders with the priesthood do anything to force people or use unrighteous dominion to coerce people into doing things, that is satanic, and the heavens will withdraw themselves. And it said nobody in the church should be forced to do something only by persuasion, long suffering. There's a list of about seven things there that some of you can quote better than I can. But the methods that Christ uses to convince people with love, not to force people. So anytime you see anybody forcing somebody else to do their will, even a parent, you can know that's a satanic, I believe. Any comment on that? Do you believe me on that? Or am I overstating, you think?
No, it's an influence.
Okay. Okay, let's see. John just read that. Steve, if you would read six for us.
The men at that time knew very well that God had made a promise to his descendant, but no one knew how and when this descendant would come to reign among the sons of Adam. With this, Satan began to twist the meaning of the promise and apply it to Nimrod, who came to take advantage of this circumstance, since from his youth he sought in his heart to obtain the presidency of the priesthood of the only begotten Son of God. Now he found himself as the head of the priesthood presidency and the royal position of the promised descendant.
Okay.
He thought.
Yes.
He thought he was in the position.
Well, he put himself in.
Yeah.
He put himself in that position, but it was a fraud. So now we're going to see more because there is, I won't say it till we get to it, but so he makes this point. Well, I should ask others first. Others comment before I do.
Well, he thought he was, but he had also been stirred and set up for this by the adversary. So he probably did think that.
Yeah, he might. Good idea, except in a few future verses, it's going to say that he actually did understand and he knew he was perverting the way of God. But until now, you're right, that's a possibility. But it said the men of the time knew there was a promise that there would be a descendant. And how did they know this? This is going to be in my coming paper. Methuselah, Enoch, of course, Adam, it was everybody's his descendant that are human. And Enoch was told it would be his descendant. And Enoch's son is Methuselah. And Methuselah knew it would be his descendant. Now, see, Enoch had several sons. And then Methuselah's grandson is Noah. And Noah was told. Well, now it's no big surprise because everybody's killed but Noah. So, of course, it's going to come to Noah. But this book, I believe we read that Methuselah was kind of bragging that the promised seed would come through him. So they knew something about the descendancy. So then Noah, they know it's going to come from Noah. And what this is saying is that they all know that there's going to be a promised descendant. And basically, Nimrod's going to claim that he's the one. I want to comment on how this puts a few things together. The promised descendant, I'm not sure how much they knew. I don't know if they knew he's going to be the savior of the world, that he's going to be the only begotten of the Son of God. Doesn't say they knew that. They knew it was some promised descendant who would be important. But this tells us what they did know about the promised descendant. He wanted the presidency of the priesthood of the only begotten Son of God. That's what we now call the Melchizedek priesthood. So he's associating the promised descendant as the head of the Aaronic priesthood. I see, and in the book of Hebrews, it said Jesus Christ is our high priest. And a lot of other Christian churches say he's the only high priest. It doesn't say that, but he's the high priest. And then it says he put himself as the head of the priesthood presidency in the royal position of the promised descendant. So they knew something about this being a direct lineage, about being a royal person. See, he's going to be the king of the area, the top king. It says he appointed other kings, but they were his vassals to him. So he's royal. He's the king. He's saying he's the promised descendant. He's making himself in the presidency of the priesthood. So this is all stuff that they knew about. And he pulls this off. He's very successful. Any other comments? See, there's a lot in this stuff. I think we're up to you, Jamie. If you would, you would read number 7 for us.
So in verse 7, we're going to start seeing how Satan plays more of a role here with Nimrod and everyone, but I wanted to just point out that we've had the Bible, we have lots of scriptures, and then the Lord sent us this book. And this book is telling us, is pulling together a lot of thoughts and ideas of how the world and how Earth is bond together. We look at Adam and Eve and the fall from the garden, and then we look at Moses, and he was leading a new chapter, a stage where we were getting the laws from God and putting together the Ten Commandments and how to live. And then that's all in the Bible. We talk a little bit about here. What I'm trying to get at is that the information that is in this book is brought to us for a reason. At the time when Noah, when the flood was over and the people started to move to their different areas, which was populate the earth, and the Lord chose to talk about Nimrod. He didn't choose to say, oh, look at this person. He went over here and this is what he did with them. And they have these records. And you're going to read about them when I say that it can come. Or I mean, he had these sons. They all went to different places. But the Lord chose to put this chapter in this book. And I am looking at this as, this is another chapter of telling us about how Satan works. About the deceit, about how he can twist people and use lies and get all these groups of people to follow one person. We are now in the era of this book. And there's been a lot of talk about how there's an antichrist going to come. But in some ways, you could look at Nimrod being an antichrist. And he built this whole group of people around him. I think, again, two things. The Lord is saying this is a warning of what is going to happen during the time that this book is brought forward. Because I have already allowed you to see all of this in the past. And the past history repeats ourselves. It is a warning to us to guard ourselves against. And then to understand also how it happens. And possibly the why. Because again, the why is that we have to make a choice to choose God. It can't just happen, oh, willy-nilly. My bro went over here. I'm going to follow him. And that turned out to be a bad idea, but I didn't put any thought into it. He's telling us we have to put thought into this. We have to listen. We have to know how Satan works. And God has allowed this to come forward from the flood when we thought everything was going to be good. All of a sudden, it was like, hey, we have all these good people. Why did we have Nimrod? And Jared and Laura kind of talk of, well, last week they talked about how Satan wasn't killed with the flood. He was still prominent. And we see that. But we're seeing it now. I think it's really important to know that in this time when Nimrod was present, other people managed to get away from Nimrod and do wonderful things. And we're going to learn about them as God allows those records to come forward. The brother of Jared and where he went and everything. But he's showing us how evil and destructive and strong Satan can be. And why we need to know this.
Excellent. That's huge. Thank you so much. You see, these other comments are so important to get a different perspective. I mean, I'm going to try to add to that just a little bit. She's saying, so with everything that's going on in the world, and a lot of people did disperse and go other places, why did the Lord talk about Nimrod so much, even in the Bible a little bit, but here a lot? And it, surely it is for a sign for us to recognize. And she brings out a great point that while a lot of people were in Babylon and there's going to be a destruction there and confusion of languages, that the Jared and the brother of Jared described in the Book of Mormon get out and they go somewhere else. In fact, they go across the ocean to a promised land. They got nothing to do with this. And they were promised that they would have the greatest civilization on earth. And so even though Nimrod is doing all this stuff over there, and people are oppressed and slaves and having to do everything, and she's suggesting that that might be how it is with the Antichrist. The Antichrist is going to be over a large section of the world. But the Lord has promised that those who follow him, follow the sealed book, listen to his instructions and voice, can be sent to holy places where they'll be protected. When they talk about Zion, very interesting. Something's coming right now. Coming meaning I'm thinking of it and I've never thought of it before. In the section 45 of the Doctrine and Covenants, it talks about how the Lord will create this city called Zion, where the righteous will go, and it will be protective. And the evil who are destroying everything else in the world are going to say, don't go attack Zion, because they're really terrible. And they don't play fair. They bring fire out of the sky, stuff like that. And yet that sounds like it's in the days of the Antichrist. Because after the Antichrist, when Christ comes, the millennium, it's my understanding that most of the wicked will have been killed by them. It is just some stuff to think about. I'm trying to stimulate thought rather than say I know the answers. I'm asking more questions. But it sounds like after Christ comes in the main coming, the wicked will have been killed. And that won't be a problem. So that the Zion he's talking about that will be protected may not be the... It might be in our time and not even Zion in Missouri, which apparently is going to be built a little late after a generation or so. Anyway, it's things to think about, but we have been told that the Lord will protect those who follow not only this book, but other who really follow Christ and listen to him and will stand up against evil in order to obey him. So anyway, thank you. I'm just sort of expanding on that.
And also I think that the Lord is asking us as we learn to be able to fight against Satan and to show people how Satan works.
So recognize
the work. Yeah. So here we're learning how Satan works and we will be able to counteract by showing people how easily Satan has come in and deceived them. Even in the Bible, look, we could show them in the Bible.
And Kevin, I'm going to retract what I just said about maybe we shouldn't talk too much about today. But I'm going to retract that because what she's pointing out is the whole reason we're studying this is so we can recognize it in the world today and show the comparison. So, pardon me. We should be open to say the things we think may be it and just throw out ideas. I do that. And so I'm being prompted to say I feel free to speak up on that. I take back my squelching insinuation, which is trying to force others to do it my way, which, that's a bad idea. Okay. Jeannie, verse 7.
Finally, I will get there. Yeah, I got it. I didn't mean that in a mean way. I'm just saying I said my piece.
No, go for it.
Okay. In harmony with their selfish desire to create for themselves a great name, he elected himself as the promised descendant. It was then that Nimrod chose a priestly caste to represent himself as the son of God. Oh, defeat again. These priests in turn came to obtain help from Satan by means of powerful works and portents, little by little, began to create hierarchy and priestly garments, and by means of signs and handshakes, began to separate the high priest from those who were less important. And soon the high priest of the order man began to form dogmas in relation to the promised descendant and to reverse the correct pronunciation of the name Nimrod for the pronouncing of Marduk, which means the Lord.
Okay.
So he completely took over, basically, in that whole area.
Yeah.
He completely took over.
And notice it says he elected himself. Imagine a person electing themselves. What a crazy idea. Who would elect themselves against the will of the people? Okay. I won't say anymore.
You go back to Cain and Abel, that's kind of what Cain did too. So we're seeing in each time frame, it might be that there is an Antichrist in each time frame.
Well, there's millions of Antichrists, but there is the one Christian tradition.
Yeah. There's several people in the Book of Mormon, Sherem in Jacob 7 and Korihor in Alma 30 are both called Antichrist because they are both against Christ. And it's interesting, again, I got to comment on this. It's interesting that they may even say to obey a lot of good laws, like the stuff the Pope has come up with are these good laws that love each other and that stuff, and people are going to accept them, but not Christ. Christ is, it's going to be an antichrist thing. If you're with Christ, that's not good, but other stuff's good. Sherem and even Korihor, I think both were preaching the law of Moses. And they said the law of Moses doesn't talk anything about a promised descendant or a Messiah or the Son of God. So they were telling people to obey the law of Moses, but reject the Son of God. And if you look at the, I've had somebody write a speech about Lehi. I bet most of us have never noticed this because I sure have never. I don't know. I've never heard of the LDS Church. But he said, if you look at the story of Lehi, when he's prophesying that Jerusalem's going to be destroyed, and he's prophesying they need to repent, people are laughing at him. Ha, 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 how stupid. Look at these walls around Jerusalem. It can never be attacked. And we're not, you know, we're righteous people. Ha, ha, ha. They're mocking him. But when he started to teach about the Messiah, the promised seed coming, that's when they wanted to put him to death. That, if you know, that's a subtle thing in the Book of Mormon. But when they were going to go after his life, go back and read that. It has to do with Messiah. And when Christ actually comes, guess what the Pharisees said? We follow Moses. We pay our tithing. We do this. We follow Moses. And we don't, and who are you? We don't know where you come from. And they crucified Christ because they followed Moses in what they said. So, I mean, I'm saying, yeah, there's a lot of Antichrist.
Okay.
And, but there's a big one coming up. But Nimrod does look like the first one. The first one after the, for sure, the first one after the flood. But there's more, no, but there's more in seven. And they have secret signs and handshakes in case you, you know, which is, there's several of these orders of satanic societies that have secret signs and handshakes so that they'll just separate out the ones who not only are high priests, but are the in group who have made covenants to protect each other in secret combinations in the government so that they can rob and murder without, and the judge won't put them in jail and stuff. Priestly caste, and they're getting all their help from Satan. They're ignoring the good feelings. See, that's what's in this book that's nowhere else, that the true priesthood is all based on love and the good feelings for each other. And that's not only not required in Satan's, it's not even allowed. It's based on the hate and the greed and the build yourself up and the king kills, this king's son kills him so he can be in, or the king kills his son so he won't be killed. All that stuff. Okay.
And well, also it's saying they begin to make separations in the people, like I'm
right.
better than you.
The classes.
So, and that's entirely against the United Order.
Right, where everybody's in the same importance. And so the class structure starts, and that's still in a lot of countries. Mm-hmm. I think I've said I watched these British, it's probably not officially in Britain, but I watched these British shows, and it's still there. The ones who are have the big manners, treat everybody else like servants and slaves and stuff. Okay, maybe I'll go on and read 9, maybe more, but let's read 9. In these days, when Nimrod succeeded in promoting false self-worship as the promised descendant, he and his confederates began spreading the priestcraft through the land to keep the absolute control of the children of men. and being known this secret only at the only the priestly caste, in which he is the lord of this great secret and high priest of the Mahan order, therefore Marduk, meaning the Lord. I will read one more because they kind of go together. He knew that the gifts of the spirit were pure and elevated feelings, and they had been passed on from father to son since the days of Noah. He also knew that such feelings, now here's what I was going to say. He knew that such feelings united with the priest of the Son of God, whose keys rested on Shem and his offspring, and acted as descendants of Japheth, would soon obstruct the spread of his reign in the land of Shinar. So there, in the last verse, it says that he knew that Shem, who turns out to be Melchizedek, Shem, the son of Noah, he's the one that will be the father of the promised seed, and not Ham. So Cain is going against what has been ordained of God. He's promoting himself to be the one in the land of Shinar, which is the Babylon area where the Tower of Babel was. But he's going to start, we're going to go on and read more of what he does to make sure people don't go on these feelings of God. In fact, that's going to be outlawed. Anybody that starts having feelings from God is going to be looked at. They're going to switch it. They're going to say that the good people are the ones who are of the devil. You watch, that'll happen. And or that they are deceived. And I've had one of my children, when I started to share with them that I had heard words from the Lord that I was supposed to get to know the Lord better and do this and do that, they wanted me to take chemical tests to see the imbalance, because anybody that hears voices, but this is crazy, Steve's chuckling. They wanted me to take tests to see what's causing these voices in my head, because if I take certain chemicals, they can be fixed and I won't hear them anymore. And that's true, by the way. And so that's what's going to happen here. We're going to see that coming. And so it's happening now. So I have to be careful who I tell that I hear voices to. Well, look at Joan of Arc. She hears voices from St. Margaret and from, I think it was St. Anne. There's two ladies. One had fought as in a former war dressed as a boy, and one had done something else. And these two, she heard these voices, and she's burned at the stake for hearing voices. So
that's the world's typical response. If you get inspiration or clear, typical.
Yeah, that's the typical response. And we're gonna see that it starts right back here. Who's gonna start? So I read verse 9, so we did enough on that. So let's move on. Kevin, if you would read again. 10 and 11 both, right?
Well, you read 10.
Oh, did I do 10? Oh, all right. Then do 11 and read 12 if you want to. Go ahead.
With this, he proposed that a school of wisdom should be instituted in the cities he built, where children of all people of the earth would receive instructions at the highest level, improving their knowledge in the writing and astrology, mathematics, architecture, construction, music, and religion. This would also be offered free to all people, where children would enjoy the best accommodations of food Nimrod had to offer. With this was drawn up a decree that was taken by his messengers to the four corners of the earth, where there was a family residing. This family should then be informed of the benevolence of Nimrod.
Okay,
which is exactly what the watchers were not supposed to do with man, teach us these things that is against God's will.
Right. Right. I can you all hear Kevin okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
And said God, you know, and what they're doing today.
And what they're doing today, and I'm going to probably say more than you do on what they're doing today.
Oh, it is insane.
Well, so he's starting school. See, he knows that you start the children young. You teach them. I think it's going to be in the next verses, but you teach the kids to turn in their parents, and they start talking about the Lord doing something. They're the ones that'll be turned in as witches. At the witch trials in Salem, the witches were the people doing the trials, and the ladies that were being killed were healing people with herbs and with the Spirit of God. Mm-hmm. And they were accused of being the witches and tried and drowned or whatever. But he starts schools. Look what it says here. He starts schools of wisdom. I mean, when I was like 14, I read in the back of some magazine I bought to send away to the Rosicrucians, and they would teach me, you know, the secrets of wisdom. And then I found out that if I joined them, I couldn't tell anybody else that it was a secret society. And something inside of me said, don't do that. Because if something's really true, you want to be a missionary and spread it and tell everybody, that's wonderful stuff. And if it's all secret and you can't tell anybody, either they're not spiritually prepared for truths, or it's
they're just after your money.
They're after your money, and it's evil, and you get killed if you tell the secret. So he's starting schools of wisdom to not only teach this stuff, but it's all free. I was shocked when I first read about communism, and I read the Communist Manifesto, and I think it's 8 or 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto. In my memory, that's been a long time, I think it was plank number 2. And of the Communist Manifesto on how to take over the world. And the manifesto means this is now public. It's not doing secret stuff anymore. He thinks it should be published to the world. Here's the instructions on taking over the world. And the number 2 thing was free public education. I mean, I read this when I was probably still in college, and I thought, well, what could be wrong with free public education?
You're getting the poor and the lower middle class, and they're just, because of money, because of hardship, they're just going along with it.
They're poor. He's, I guess you can hear Kevin. He's, yeah, you'll get the poor and the middle class, but you also get the teaching of whoever the teachers are in this free school. And guess what we have in our schools today? Prayer is not allowed. And when Obama was president, there was a time when they were singing songs praising Obama as the president, and we should all follow Obama. And, you know, and anyway, you can teach evolution and all this. You touch a bunch of horrible stuff, early sex stuff in schools and evolution, all kinds of policy. But if you dare to bring up the Bible or something true or prayer, that's verboten. That's to quote the German Nazi word for it. And anyway, free public education was one of the big planks back in the days of Nimrod. So this is, that's not in the Bible anywhere. That's not in the Book of Mormon anywhere. This is a new thing showing us how it was done back right after the flood. And these ancient schools, so a lot of the Ivy League schools, see, I am going to mention stuff. A lot of the ones of the Harvard and the Oxford and Princeton and Columbia have these secret, the Skull and Crossbone Societies. They have the secret societies. And they're the ones who are chosen and being groomed to be in the satanic ruling of the world. When I was a kid, I had good grades and things, and I was proposed to be a Rhodes Scholar. And I didn't know anything about who Rhodes was or any of that. And I signed up and I was not chosen. I'm so not chosen. Because if you're a Rhodes Scholar, you're on this line to be a leader of the on the dark side. So I am really naming things today, because if you do some research, you'll find all of that's there. So it's offered free to people. I'm doing all the comic talk here. Okay, and it's drawn up in the street. Okay, so Jeannie.
We see several prominent people being kicked out of colleges today and losing their
scholarship.
Teaching degrees and
tenure
and stuff, and that's because they dared to stand up and go against what that school wanted them to stand up and say. So therefore their secret society didn't want them anymore. They couldn't have dissent.
At BYU, the professor that pointed out, his name escapes me right now, but the professor that pointed out that the Twin Towers couldn't have fallen because an airplane hit him. He was a professor of physics. And he was fired for daring to say that the Twin Towers might be false. And so that happens at BYU, it happens everywhere.
Yeah.
And true voices are being squelched. When the president of the United States is banned from Twitter for, if you look at what he was banned for, that has upset other nations all over the world. Other people and other kings. I read an article in the Epic Times about 10 other nations where the leaders have come out and said, whoa, if he can be banned, then we can be banned. We all use Twitter, and they're going to try to start their own social media and stuff because of the squelching of a voice that is actually speaking some truth that they don't want taught.
Yeah, exactly. So there's another thing to go back to this verse 11 when he says he's going to do this school of wisdom. Let's look at this guy. He came from all of his brothers and sisters, and he was taught the love and helping everybody and being, you know, all the good feelings. He grew up with that. And yet he thinks he has enough knowledge to teach other people architecture and mathematics and astrology, and music and religion. He only has that because he went to Satan to get it. We didn't have the Watchers anymore. The Watchers are gone, the bad angels. Watchers are gone. So all they had was Satan. And Satan is giving this knowledge. This is the knowledge that comes from the order of mayhem. And it just fed downward to all the kings and all the little rulers and everything until Moses comes along. And then when Moses goes back to who was the leader at that time, and says, my God can do these things, and throws the rod down
to the Pharaoh,
and the other people came, his priests came,
they could copy it
because Satan taught it to them,
right?
So again, it is Satan versus God.
And in the last days, when the Antichrist comes, in the book of Revelation, it says the prophet of the beast of the Antichrist will be able to call down fire from heaven and do stuff. And just to comment on that, see, we tend to look at signs like they really are from God. When Elijah did the same test, and Elijah does the test with the priests of Baal, they couldn't do it, and Elijah did, and so everybody goes with Elijah. Because he did the trick best, you know? I mean, he called down the fire. He must be the true one. Well, in that case, he was the true one. The test coming up, that's not going to work. You're going to have the true one, and you're going to have the bad one, and the bad one's going to call down the fire from heaven, and even Bible readers are going to say, oh, my goodness. Even Here in Kevin, even the elect can be deceived because they're going to say, well, Elijah at work, the one that had the fire, he's the real one. So it must be so. See, the test is harder as you go along.
But it's quite simple because the Bible says who comes first.
Really well, hard. Yeah, the Lord gives us all kinds of clues in the Bible. So let's go on. See, we can finish this chapter if I make fewer comments. So we read 12, and so we're up to Steve. If you would read 13 or 13, both.
Yeah,
13 or both. Say 14 if you want.
Okay. The purpose, though it seemed noble, was clothed with priestcraft through of illusion and obscurity. The master priests who were being prepared to teach the children brought by their fathers to this supposed school of wisdom had as their guideline the nullifying of the gifts of the Spirit of God in their hearts, making them believe in the opposite of everything that they'd been taught by their parents. Before entering what the high priesthood of Marduk called among children of men as being the doors of wisdom, the instructions were clear. Everything that children believe infallibly will be attributed to the power of evil. So if one were to see their father use the gift of the Spirit to heal someone in his family, or even to obtain miraculous help from the heavens, they would immediately rebuke their father and mother of such proceedings, claiming that they themselves were deceived in the beginning when their ancestors used magic and witchcraft to gain benefit from the spiritual world.
Okay, comment.
Well, we're doing that today with social distancing, people gathering groups, neighbors calling and writing them up. It's, again, just a parallel reality to what's happening today.
The statement that's been in the air recently between the righteous and the politics and all that is good and good is evil. And that's what that reminds me of. He's doing it again.
And Isaiah, that's quoting Isaiah, where it says, in the last days they'll call good evil and evil good. But Kevin makes a good point. A lot of this stuff that is being used for the so-called pandemic, which almost no one knows anyone that's actually died from it, is all not good for you, spiritually even. Wearing masks, you can't get enough oxygen. I know a lady, I talked to her yesterday, and where she works, she has to wear a mask. And she said when she's home and never wore a mask, she never got sick. Now that she's wearing the mask, she's gotten sick two or three times. Because for whatever reason. But in the social distancing, you need to hug people. See, the hugging is the love. So now you can't even shake hands, your elbow bump or whatever. Anyway, so he's saying a lot of these are sort of subtle and people don't notice, but they are all these, a lot of them seem to be designed. This is a new thought to me. That's new to me, Kevin. But they also are getting away from the true feelings of God. And I knew I didn't want to do most of them, but that helps me see why.
So the purpose that I seemed noble was closed in priestcraft. It was noble to send us all home, but and put our little masks on.
Yeah, yeah.
And the illusion and obscurity, we really don't know the true story behind all of it. How many are alive? And they're working so hard. You could go to the bar and work out before they would allow a church to open.
Yeah.
But also Mauricio has told us that this we're learning now is a church without walls. It is a church of the people. It is a church of, because that's what we're trying to do is understand the feelings of our heart.
Right.
And it doesn't matter that you went to that church and the building, because that pastor might not even been telling you the truth. So some of this might work out for the good for God. Also, if we don't start turning to God, and so the Antichrist hasn't come, if we don't start turning to God now, which the revival that is coming up, that we're hearing people talk about so much now, is the idea that we want God, we want love, we want some of these things. And the pandemic is trying to take it away from.
So, good point. Good points. One other thing here, this has the children turning in their parents. One of the prophecies in Isaiah is that your children will become your masters. I think it's Isaiah. And when I first read that as a kid, I thought, that's insane. That could be, what? How can that be? Now you watch it. Kids can turn in their parents as, you know, child abuse or this or that when there isn't really any. They can turn in their parents for all kinds of things, let alone healing and gifts of the spirit and stuff. And also, oh, you can turn in your neighbors. You know, in the modern world, they're going to have these.
They're going to make
an application on your phone. What's it called? The spacing thing.
Yeah, social.
Not social distance. It's got a name where it means if you've been around anybody who has had.
Oh, the tracking.
Yeah, it tracks everybody, and it'll know if your phone is within 6 feet of the phone of somebody who's had it. Then they can come to your home and actually. Well, I'm not sure of all of that. Let's just say the key here is the force. When you're forced to do something, that's what we saw earlier. If you're forced, whether a vaccination is good or not, if you're forced to do it, suddenly I don't want to do it just because of the forced part. In fact, I've never wanted, I don't take flu shots anyway, and I don't get the flu. Anyway, that's just me. Anytime you're being forced to do something, it's a big red flag that it's not from God. Okay, let's read the last couple and we're going to actually finish on time. I see. So who read? That was
Steve read.
Steve read. Yeah. Back to you.
All right. This mode
15.
Of.
15.
Yeah, 15.
This mode of teaching was widely accepted among the peoples of the earth. And in a short time, the power and influence of the gift from the Spirit of God ceased to exist in their fullness in the feelings of men. And once again, their hearts were contaminated by precepts of men and poisoned by the spirit of Satan. Many of these children underwent the priestly initiation of the school of Marduk in order to perpetuate the subservience of the children of men to a man in the office of God. And when God spread the people to the four corners of the earth, it was these young priestly apprentices who later founded kingdoms with the same principle, where a man was venerated as the son of God or of the gods, because there was a mixture of doctrines between the people that were gathered together in the land of Shinar.
So, all right, well, and good, that's all that we just gave. So, that's,
see you later.
Kevin's leaving, but, anyway, this was perpetuated all over the world. So Satan got it started with this Nimrod. So this whole chapter has taught us about Nimrod and how these evil secret combinations basically have spread all over the world, trying to govern the world, and we're seeing it now. And we're going to see it more of in the kingdom of the Antichrist when he gets in the false way. Right now, it's just sort of transitioning. Any other comments on the whole chapter of these verses?
It didn't take long for Satan to take over.
Yeah, this has got to be discouraging. Well, on the one hand, discouraging to the Lord, but on the other hand, you know, he said his purposes are never frustrated. This earth was set up to be one of the toughest ever. And as we've read it in the sealed book and it's in other scriptures, the only earth where people would actually crucify the real God when he came, which you can tell because it was all about good feelings and loving your neighbor that he taught. So this earth has been a test all the way along. Which makes it interesting that God had the flood to wipe everybody out when he he knows the future. He knows the end from the beginning. So he knew this was going to happen to start up again. It wasn't just the evil teachings that were being destroyed. They were starting again with a new human race. There was something in the genetics like we talked about last
time. Yeah.
That was being purified. But anyway, I found this very instructive, that these wisdom schools, I knew they went back to Greece. I didn't know they went back to Nimrod until I read this book. And everything they're teaching, well, anyway, I don't need to keep saying it over and over. If we're done, I will close the class and thank everybody for coming. And
Nimrod knew he was not in the line.
Right,
yet.
He's not from Shem.
And it was like his pride and his jealousy, it all came from those bad feelings.
And he elected himself.
Yep.
That's quite a statement in two words.
Yep. And people fell for it.
Yes, imagine that. Okay.
They fall for it again recently too.
What?
What's
it? They're falling for it again recently too.
Yeah, recently.
He did elect himself. I'm going to turn the recording part off. So we're just going to...